Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. I've been with my friends. I'm just trying to make you a little money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate, teach, put this one in perspective. So call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. The market got decked today. Dow plummeting 433 points, S&P plunging 1.14%, NASDAQ nosediving 1.24%. But given the COVID surge and the collapse of President Biden's huge Build Back Better bill, I think it's a marvel we didn't take even more of a beating. And we were able to come back rather convincingly from the midday lows. The oddly named Build Back Better bill could have given the economy some much-needed stimulus. Perhaps something we need now that the Fed's tapping the brakes and the previous stimulus packages are well in the rearview mirror. The reign of COVID, now in its Omicron phase, although Delta is very much still out there, is doing a number on our collective psyche, although you wouldn't know it from the boffo Spider-Man box office numbers this very weekend. Before I go overboard saying things could have been worse, let me explain the less than precarious state we find ourselves in. Get that? Less than. This is a state where I think you need to stay the course, even doing some buying, as we did for my charitable trust, where, of course, you can see all of our moves before we make them if you join the CNBC Investing Club. Yep, I think this is a keep calm and carry on moment. I'm going to tell you why. First, by now, look, we're no strangers to COVID. Those of us who've chosen to embrace the fear going maximum vaccination now accept that it may not be enough to ward off the pandemic, this time in the form of the Omicron variant. I know I sure couldn't. I went to a party last week, Monday, a party filled with people who had negative PCR tests that very day, and I still caught it. I made the mistake of not wearing a mask. I let my guard down because everyone had been tested that very day, same day. So I felt secure. Why shouldn't I? What I didn't realize is the Omicron strain may be 70 times more contagious than Delta. That puts it in the same league as measles, where one kid would get it, and then the outbreak would spread to the whole class that same day. I didn't know I'd caught Omicron until Thursday. I like to use, well, the Abbott's Binax Now test. And that morning I tested negative. Then I had a bit of laryngitis during the show, nothing new for me, as I typically lose my voice 3 or 4 times a year. But this time I stood down from Thursday night's taping and used a Binax Now to test myself. Well, sure enough, when the show concluded, there were these telltale 2 lines, and my heart sank. I mean, that's a genuine sample from this morning. And I knew what awaited me and feared for my terrific teammates until we get it all clear. Fortunately, probably because I've had 3 Moderna doses, the last one being a full dose, the pain and tiredness and raw throat didn't last past Saturday. I've been on the road to recovery ever since. Thank you for all the well wishers today. Unfortunately, I tested positively again today, so there's no return to the office. I feel terribly for those who are fighting for their lives from this disease, but I'm so grateful for the vaccines, even as I tire of telling people it's worth getting vaccinated. We may soon be in the you're-on-your-own-pal moment here, where we all have to accept the personal risk, although the unvaccinated who go to the hospital might not have taken that much needed bed if they had just gotten jabbed, they think I'm preaching. I think I'm teaching. However, if Omicron does become the dominant strain, many people think that could be a given, then infected people, well, they can't tell when they've gotten sick. Unless we're all triple vaccinated, we may not be able to avoid another dangerous situation where the hospitals get overloaded. And that is the biggest concern at this point. Hospitalization. Forget the caseloads number. They don't mean anything anymore. It's hospitalizations. Now, we'll have Dr. Eric Topol on the show later tonight. He is our favorite COVID expert. But in my experience, as long as you're triple vaccinated, getting Omicron may not be as hazardous to your health as you thought. That's a positive one that isn't baked into the averages. I like it. How about the future of Biden's massive spending bill? First, it was obvious this legislation was going nowhere after the off-year elections last month, so I'm not sure who's left to be surprised. The Democrats never had the votes to pass a major expansion of the social safety net, but a lot of people do seem surprised. So we'll treat this as real news. What's it mean for the market? We can call it a decidedly mixed blessing, or maybe even a mixed curse. On the one hand, if there's anyone out there who still seriously cares about the budget deficit, they got a lot less to be worried about. For Main Street, though, the collapse of this bill is a real pity because it could have helped a lot of people who are disenfranchised. It would have given the economy a boost, but the economy is already a little overheated, so maybe that's not that positive. At the same time, there were some provisions in this thing that would have hurt particular industries. Pharma has to be happy because the government won't be using its heft to negotiate lower drug prices. That's why I've been recommending drug stocks. Stay tuned. I've got more on that later. Other industries are hurting them. The electric vehicle tax breaks are gone. Good for Tesla because they wouldn't qualify, but bad for the rest of the industry. And that group got crushed today. Solar stocks, also another nasty session. So what do we do? All right, first, yes, we do stay the course. No need to dump your stocks here. In fact, we added to our positions for my charitable trust. We got a lot of cash. We put some of it to work. Now, remember, we did some selling near the highs. We get you the bulletin so you know that. I'm not too worried because there's no systemic risk here. And even the non-systemic risk is something we've already dealt with. Second, we need to pick stocks opportunistically. This was day one of the sell-off when everything goes down indiscriminately, although you did get buyers of the consumer products companies coming in at the end of the day. That is not unusual. On day two, the slowdown stocks start to gain strength. Think healthcare and consumer packaged goods plays. So you might want to pick some of those up, and particularly in the healthcare category. That's what we were doing today. You also have to expect a rebound in some of the mega tech names, which were some the ones that bounced earliest last time we had COVID. More on that later. Their case will be bolstered by the great numbers from Micron that came after this close. I think that Micron's a good stock. You know I like the semis. You may even see a bounce, by the way, in some retail names tomorrow because you know what? Wonder of wonders, Nike reported a good number tonight, too. Boy, that stock had been straight down. Third, remember that historically tomorrow marks the beginning of the Christmas rally we talked about. Well, Santa Claus, Christmas, ecumenical, whatever. That, you know, I don't mean to make some people call it the Santa Claus rally. Some people call it the Christmas rally. I'm trying to include, a melting pot here. And that's we're using Larry Williams, the legendary technician and market historian, to help us. For the last 20 years, Santa Claus has showed up almost without fail. I know we've got some unique circumstances this year, but I wouldn't bet against the Santa Claus rally here. It's got very bad odds to bet against the rally or to bet against Larry Williams. Now, I don't think we've heard the last of the Build Back Better either. There will be another slimmed down version that moderate Democrats like Joe Manchin will be willing to endorse. Come on, it's Washington. They always figure it out. I mean, not to do it right. You got to keep in mind that the Democrats have the narrowest possible margin in the Senate, which means it only takes one guy to hold the whole caucus hostage. I also believe that after Christmas, the port situation will be lessened, and some raw costs will come down, making the market more palatable. Hey, by the way, oil came down big today. Now, I don't want to just say it's a bad market, like it's some sort of bad football team. It takes a very long time for a franchise to make a turn. Lots of good draft picks, some fresh coaches at the helm, a lot of luck. The stock market, on the other hand, can turn on a dime. So you need to be on the lookout for stories about how the Omicron strain isn't particularly damaging as long as you're vaccinated and boosted. The bottom line, as more people realize they won't have to go to the hospital or take a few days off if they get sick, again, assuming they've got their shots, I expect the market to be able to mount a comeback. Let's take some calls. Let's go to John in my home state of New Jersey. John!
Hi, Jim. I have a two-part question for you regarding the fintech company SoFi. Given your expertise, when do you think the company will be approved for the bank charter? And do you think it has bottomed out with the recent 40% decline?
I think it's bottomed out because I think that they got rid of all those insider sellers. And I don't know exactly when the chart is going to come because the government's quite fickle. But I do think at these levels, SoFi at 14 is a buy. Let's go to Andrew in California. Andrew.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Hope you're feeling better. My question is on Running. Just had their best quarter ever, and it seems like everyone loves their shoes. Given their stellar balance sheet and continued growth, do you have any reason to believe the stock shouldn't move any higher, and any concerns with the high competition in athleisure market and, of course, the ongoing supply chain challenges?
Well, look, I think this is a great question because what it says is that in another market before the Fed started its decision to tighten, this would have been the one to own. Now we got to go with Nike. You've been up 5 from where it was after a terrific quarter this very year. Now, I know it was a brutal day, but you know what? Could have been much worse. This is a keep calm and carry on moment. I think the market is going to bounce back because I think Santa is coming to town. He's going to give us a couple extra points. All Mad Money tonight. Stocks slid today as Omicron fears intensify. What do we do? Well, we sit down with Dr. Eric Topol to help make sense of the COVID surge. Then kicking off the new year with a breakup, I'm circling back to stocks that are splitting up to unlock value and telling you if they could be worth considering heading into 2022. And digital currencies have been around for a while now, but 2021 was the year the wider crypto world made its mark. I'm sitting down with a visionary in the space, and by the way, and not an angry guy, FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried, not arrogant like the rest of the guys that I've had to interview about this. We're going to find out what the new year means for the cryptocurrency. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As the Omicron strain spreads like wildfire across the Northeast, something I know all too well because I caught it myself, the market's getting obliterated. I've been cautiously optimistic here, but this thing is incredibly contagious, although the symptoms don't seem so bad as long as you've gotten your 3 doses of the vaccine. That's why tonight we need a COVID checkup with Dr. Eric Topol, True North, the fantastic cardiologist turned founder and current EVP of Scripps Research, who's become our most trusted source in the pandemic. Dr. Topol, welcome back to Mad Money.
Great to be with you, Jim.
All right, Doc, you know, the first thing I did when I found out I contracted it was to direct message you. And what I'm most concerned about is that, can you help people understand that if they do get all three vaccinations, two plus the so-called booster, that perhaps if they do get Omicron, maybe even Delta, I'm not sure, but Omicron, they may actually just experience a mild cold that lasts for a day or two.
Right. Well, with Delta, the three shots is, you know, at least 95% protective. Delta is not a challenge for a three-shot vaccine. With Omicron, there's a lot of breakthroughs, fivefold more than there were for Delta. But as you said, and as you've experienced, Jim, those breakthroughs can be quite mild. And most of them have been reported to be pretty mild so far. So that's the great news. It doesn't mean all of them are going to be mild. How have you been feeling?
Geez, you know, thank you for asking. I know this is going to sound strange. It's something you and I go back and forth about. But the third Moderna knocked me out far more than this illness has. The third Moderna had me sleep for 24 straight hours. I had a terrible headache. I really couldn't lose it. Here, I had a cough, a scratchy throat, but I would not have known if I had had anything unless I had not taken my my Abbott Binax now. Now, Dr. Topol, is that a am I a rarity, or has that been the kind of norm?
No, that's actually pretty standard right now for these breakthroughs with Omicron. Almost invariably, we're not seeing the loss of smell and taste. There's now lab studies that show that Omicron can't get into lung cells nearly as well as Delta and prior variants. So these are some hints that this could be a milder illness, not just from our immunity, like you have with the three shots, but also something intrinsic to the virus. But when it gets to the point, Jim, when it's better to get an infection of the virus than it is to get the reaction to a booster shot, that's a good sign. We're not there yet, of course. There's still lots of uncertainties because we're going to see a really large numbers of new infections as we're seeing in other parts of the world. And a fraction of those are going to be not mild. They're going to be severe. And we just don't know what that fraction is yet.
Right. Well, one of the things that is worrisome to me is travel. And the theory here why I'm concerned is the reason I contact Trace how I got it. I went to an event. Everybody had to be PCR negative, before the event. It turns out that there were people who were at my table who the next day tested positive. Had they been next to me on an airplane, they might have tested negative going on the plane. And then by the time they got to, let's say, to Spain or Italy, they might have come down with it. How do we control this thing if you're negative in the morning and positive in the afternoon?
Yeah, that's really a problem. And we're seeing that with Omicron. It picks up to infectiousness levels with the rapid test really fast. So if you do a screening, it needs to be, you know, immediately before. And they're not perfect. The rapid tests are best when they're done in a serial manner. And then all of a sudden now you have a change in the reading. So, you're bringing up a real vulnerability. We can't fully rely on testing. And if we're going to use rapid tests, they got to be as close proximal to the time and the event as possible. And that would include travel.
Right now, I got the New Jersey, the Department of Health called today. They call everybody. And they told my wife, who's more infected than I am, frankly, but they said, listen, this thing is 70 times more contagious than Delta. And I don't know where they came up with that number. But what that would say to me is, let's say you went to Madison Square Garden, 20,000 people. And a lot of people had Omicron. Is it possible to be like when I was growing up or when you were growing up, when one kid had measles and then by the end of the day, we all had measles?
Yeah. Well, first, it's not 70 times more because Delta is very contagious. But this virus takes advantage of not only the increased contagiousness, but this so-called immune escape, because, you know, it just doesn't look enough like the prior versions of the virus. So when our immune system basically doesn't recognize it. And that's how it can spread so easily. That's really what's fueling a lot of this. But yes, the problem is you're in a room, you're an indoor event, and it's going to spread. And this is a real problem. That's why we still need to use masks, better masks, high quality. We don't want to get these infections because it's a roll of the dice right now. If we knew that everybody was going to have a mild infection, that'd be great. But we don't know that at all. The spread is akin to these other viruses that are notorious for spreading so easily.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out because I had this wishful thinking, say, oh my, if everybody had what I had, we would blow through this and the world would be a better place. And that's just some sort of Pollyanna gobbledygook. I don't want to fall prey to that. Dr. Eric Topol, once again, you have been True North. I'm sorry if I made you my doctor after getting sick. You're such a good man. EVP of Scripps Research. Wow. I love it when you're on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I'm so glad you're doing well.
Thank you. Well, I am doing well, fortunately, because of people like Dr. Topol who tell me not to worry and not to panic, but to be careful. Mad Money's back in.
Coming up, will three big breakups give a new face to pharma? Kramer explains what you can do to cash in on biotech's new look. Next.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Last week, we sold off because of the Fed. Today, we sold off because of the Omicron strain and the failure of President Biden's huge spending bill to get passed. But even with this pullback ends, and the market's not going back to normal. It's not going to happen. We're in a new world now, one where the Fed is no longer your friend. And that changes the kinds of stocks that can work. I keep telling you that in this environment, you want to bet on the tangible over the conceptual. Companies that actually make stuff, do things with real earnings, real dividends, and ideally real catalysts, not just the promise of those things many years down the road. In other words, you need stocks that are Fed-proof, and with the Omicron strain exploding all over the world, you also need them to be COVID-proof. Which brings me to Big Pharma. These are textbook safety stocks. When you're worried about a slowing economy, it makes a ton of sense to park your money in the drug stocks. It's always worked because they do just fine regardless. You don't stop taking medication just because Jay Powell says he'll hit us with 3 rate hikes next year, although he didn't do that. And you definitely don't stop filling your prescriptions when COVID is raging. But it's my job to teach you how to identify winners. So I'm not really giving you a blanket endorsement of Big Pharma. I want to show you how to find the best ones. Right now, practically the whole group is insanely cheap on an earnings basis, to the point where a few drug companies have finally decided to take their fate into their own hands. And that's why Bausch Health, GlaxoSmithKline, and Johnson & Johnson are all in the process of breaking themselves up in order to unlock value for their shareholders. And there is substantial value to unlock. So let's take these three big pharma breakups one by one. Let's start with Bausch Health Companies, BHC. I like this one so much that we bought it today for the charitable trust, and we told you in the bullpen, put it in the bullpen last week, right after we spoke to Joe Papa. If you want more information, CNBC Investing Club has got it all. Now, Bausch has become the ultimate comeback story. This is the company formerly known as Valeant, which we hated, by the way. Yeah, that was that pharma roll-up that took on a mountain of debt in order to make endless acquisitions. It then collapsed under its own weight when rates started rising in 2015, but as they were also running out of takeover targets. Valiant's stock just got crushed. There was a ton of controversy over their shady business practices, and the management team got the boot. See you later. Then that's when the board brought in Joe Papa as chairman and CEO. Now, this guy's done a remarkable job of turning things around. In 5 years since he came on the show, he's paid off a huge chunk of debt, stabilized the business, settled the legal issues, and even fixed the business model to the point where Bausch now has positive organic growth again. Who would have thought that could happen? Then last year, quietly, he rolled out a plan to break up the company. First, he planned to spin off Bausch & Lomb as an independent eye care business. Then this August, Papa said he'd be spinning off his Solta Medical business. It's the aesthetic side. By the way, it's a pretty good aesthetic business. Which that left behind a pure play pharmaceutical company with some great gastrointestinal drugs. So how much could this thing be worth if you split it into three pieces? All right, let's do some back of the envelope math. Bausch intends to spin off Solta Medical early next year. This aesthetics business, still relatively small, had $219 million in sales through the first 9 months of 2021. But they've also got fast growth and lots of devices to give people clear, smooth skin. I use one of them, and it's really pretty amazing. It's called Fraxel. It really hurts. Right now, the Solta division's growing at a 27% clip, and they should be able to generate $171.5 million in earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization this year. That's real money. How much would the market pay for that? Well, if we value Solta like its peers, say, InMode, it'd be worth $5.15 billion, okay? Now, how about Bausch & Lomb eye care business, really? Which, remember, this is the gold standard. We actually have a very good comparison here. Alcon, the Swiss eye care company. If you value Bausch & Lomb like Alcon, it'd be worth $21 billion. I think it's actually better than Alcon. Finally, what about the remaining drug businesses that we left off after the spin-off? Well, even if you assume it keeps being valued like Bausch Health, this would be a $6 billion business. I think that's incredibly conservative. Add it all up, and these three enterprises will be worth $32.3 billion. However, the company still has this mountain of debt, $21.9 billion worth. Subtract that, and you end up with a $10.4 billion sum of the parts valuation, which is $29 per share. And that's roughly 17% higher than where the stock's trading right now, even after a big run for the stock today. Again, that's very conservative. J.P. Morgan published a piece arguing this stock could jump to the high 30s. Whoa! Which makes perfect sense to me. We're buying this for the Chapel Trust precisely because we think $29 is the bear case. In reality, there should be a lot more upside. If you want to know more, please check your club bulletins. We were extensive about it today. Right in the middle of the downturn is when we issued. We tried to not move the stock ourselves, for heaven's sake. Now, next, there's the GlaxoSmithKline breakup, a little muddled. They've been working on this one for 3 years. In 2019, Glaxo merged its consumer health business with Pfizer's consumer business, created an over-the-counter powerhouse, and said that within 3 years' time, it would spin off the unit. This summer, we finally got an update. Glaxo currently pays a big dividend that yields 5% here, and everyone expected a big cut. Well, just a second. Management said they're only cutting it by 31%. Also gave you some encouraging sales and earnings projections for the next 5 years. I got to tell you, this one is so difficult to get your arms around, but the thing I like best about it is that Elliott Management's in there, and they're a very smart but very tough hedge fund, and they want to bring in new leadership. Now, I don't know about that. I don't know if they're going to get their way, but these situations usually motivate management to deliver for shareholders. Still one more reason to like this. I think you can rally 10% without much heavy lifting. Third, there's the most quizzical. And that's the J&J breakup. Quizzical because I didn't know they needed to break up. Like Glaxo, J&J wants to spin off its consumer health division as a separate company, leaving behind a best-of-breed drug and medical device business. I'm a huge fan of Johnson & Johnson. And the breakup, I guess, because management favors it. But you need to be patient for this one because it could take, let's say, a year and a half to 2 years to play out. See, that's too long. That's why we went with Bausch for the Chapel Trust. This one's just taking too long. J&J is one of the best drug businesses out there. But it's always underestimated because it's buried within a larger enterprise. Meanwhile, their medical device business is growing like a weed. If they can throw off the shackles of the consumer division, the remaining company should get a higher price earnings multiple, maybe much higher. But the consumer business would also get a higher multiple as an independent company, too. J&J trades at 16 times next year's earnings. Clorox, Procter & Gamble, and Colgate, all of which I like, sell for north of 24 times earnings because the market value is consistency. And J&J's consumer business is at least as good as they are. Plus, I think it uses bulletproof balance sheet to act as a consolidator in the industry, something it can't really do as long as it's buried within a larger company that would rather invest in drugs and medical technology. In the meantime, J&J is paying you to wait with a 2.5% yield, and I think the stock could get a boost as we learn more details about the breakup. And sometimes I wish, could we own all these from a charitable trust? I wouldn't be diversified, but this is a good one, too. Of course, their COVID vaccine doesn't seem to be too effective against the Omicron strain, but I think that could give you some buying opportunities. We thought long and hard about whether to buy this one or Bausch or for the trust. Settle on Bausch because the breakup is happening sooner. But J&J should be great, too. You can't own them all, although, boy, I sure wish we could. Here's the bottom line. Going into next year, you want safety stocks with real earnings and real catalysts, which is why I like the three big pharma breakup stories. I like Bausch Health, which we own for the charitable trust. Like GlaxoSmithKline for maybe a four-point tackle one, and J&J for the next 2 years. Real good. Let's take some calls. Let's go to George in Florida. George.
Hi, Jim. How are you? Greetings from Florida.
George, I'm getting better every day. Oh, man, you lucky dog. What's going on?
I'm calling about a company that's called Novavax, and that is an NVAX, and they came out with the vaccine, and 90% effective, easier to store than Pfizer, and has recently actually been approved by the EU and the WHO. So just trying to get your feelings on the company. Thank you.
Well, I think these stocks, I like Pfizer in this group. I listen to they had Stan Eck on the closing bell. I thought he sounded good, but I just decided that Pfizer's the only one of the vaccines. Don't really need any others right now. So therefore, I think you ought to ring the red shirt if you have no defense. All right, we're in a new world, people. We need stocks with real earnings and real catalysts too. That's why I like Bausch Health. I like GlaxoSmithKline and J&J. Much more Mad Money ahead. A few weeks ago, FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried offered Congress a crash course on crypto, and he did it politely. He's doing the same for Cramerica tonight. You're not going to want to miss my exclusive. Then nobody wants to think about buying stocks as the market gets steamrolled by yet another wave of COVID. That's exactly what you should be doing here. I'm offering up a list of potential plays. You're crazy if you miss it. And all your calls, rapid fire in tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. As we head into the end of the year, there's no escaping that the crypto complex has generated enormous gains for people. While the most prominent ones have all pulled back pretty substantially from their highs, there's still a huge year to date. It's been a giant year. This was the year when crypto went truly mainstream. Regular viewers know that I'm a huge fan of owning some Bitcoin or Ethereum for speculation. That's a bit of a hedge, too. But fundamentally, we're still at the learning stage when it comes to this stuff. That's why tonight, we're going to educate ourselves with Sam Bankman-Fried. I can't believe he hasn't been on the show before. The founder and CEO of FTX, one of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges. Bankman-Fried is one of the faces of the industry, which is why he had to provide testimony to the House Financial Services Committee a couple of weeks ago. I read the testimony. It's pretty smart. So I will be doing the same thing for Cramerica. Mr. Bankman-Fried, welcome to Mad Money.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, Sam, I got to tell you, it's an honor to have you because I think you're pretty much a visionary. And I also think you're
a person who
understands that some people are, well, we're concerned. I mean, for instance, I'll give you a great example. I have Ethereum right now. I was always shared it with our viewers. I made a lot of money with Bitcoin. I want my bank, traditional bank, to take my Ethereum. They won't. Can I go to FTX to put my Ethereum?
Yeah, you can. You know, in addition to being an exchange, so a place where you can buy and sell Ethereum, it's also a place where you can hold Ethereum and other digital assets. You can earn interest on it, and you can access it from mobile, from a website, and everything else.
Okay, now when I read through your testimony, it's clear that you are not anti-regulation, but you do feel that this industry can pretty much regulate itself. And yet we know that there are scoundrels in the industry. Sam, you know, kind of like Gresham's Law, the bad can drive out the good. How can you self-regulate or should you just actually say to the, say, CFTC, regulate us?
I think it would make a ton of sense for, you know, some combination of CFTC and SEC to regulate the crypto industry. I think they're already markets regulators. A lot of the regulation, frankly, ports over pretty cleanly to the crypto ecosystem. There are a lot of pretty nasty points right now in the regulatory framework that I think have to be worked out around where various assets qualify. But I think that at its core, you know, markets regulation by the CFTC, I think asset issuance regulation by the SEC make a ton of sense for the industry.
Well, that does make you a bit of an outlier. I think there's some people in the industry who basically enjoy the fact that it's not regulated, which therefore makes it far more difficult for us old mainstream folks to want to go with it. Your proposal would make it so that billions of people around the world would want to be involved with crypto. How do you get yours to be the prevalent view?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, a lot of the goal is how do we get from where we are today to a truly mainstream global industry that has the consumer protection and the trust that people have come used to? You know, I think that you have people going back and forth on, like, this is a security, this isn't a security. And it has really grave regulatory implications right now. Where we need to get to, I think, is a world in which we say, look, some of these things have properties that are like traditional equities or securities. Some of them have properties that are like commodities. Instead of arguing about exactly what classification they should have, let's make sure that the sort of regulatory oversight that needs to be there is there. And that oversight that doesn't make sense isn't gumming up the industry. And so I think you look at asset issuances, right? Having kind of standard controls that you see, like with equities, around the supply, the issuance, the burning of tokens would make a ton of sense. But, you know, not mandating that they fill out forms that one couldn't fill out as a decentralized token project. I think with stablecoins, having oversight that they have what they say they have makes a lot of sense.
Well, do you think there's any chance that you could, let's say, be located in the United States, but right now you're still offshore? If you came to the United States, I think that would help your legitimacy greatly.
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, we have a U.S. entity. We have a U.S. exchange that Americans can use, FTX U.S. I'm in Washington, D.C. every month or so talking with policymakers and regulators. You know, we might eventually see more of a unified framework between the U.S. regulatory ecosystem and the international regulatory ecosystem. Right now, both sides are still working out what it's going to look like. So I think we're a little ways away from that. But I absolutely would like to see those come and converge and allow for, you know, the same entities to be able to operate onshore and offshore.
Well, I totally agree. Now, Sam, one last question. I am concerned when I see, for instance, the let's say the cryptos that Robinhood, a lot of people at Robinhood are trading on. I see this Solana. I don't know it well. I see Doge. I wonder whether that my Ethereum or Bitcoin aren't hurt by the fact that a lot of people are getting taken in by what you and I may not think are real currencies. What do we do about the Doge? What do we do about the ones that are taking younger people's money and maybe not being anything you and I think would be as legitimate as what we talk about?
Totally. So, you know, one side of this is you need to have competition, right? Like, you don't want to just have, you know, regulators come in, choose the winner, choose the loser, and, you know, force all of the market cap into things that might not make sense. On the other hand, you know, you want to make sure that people aren't just buying into complete scams or things like that. I don't think it's a trivial thing to balance this. I think what I'd say is that, you know, there should be a lot more transparency around what these assets do, right? If you want to list a token, I think there should be, you know, a regulatory system of oversight here that says, look, list what the use cases of the token is, some statistics about its usage, you know, list what its history is, list, you know, who holds the tokens to the extent that they're large owners and things like that, so that at least you can have transparency about what the goal even is of some of these tokens. And I think what you would find then is that there's a huge, huge spectrum from some tokens. I think Solana is one example that have incredible use cases and can be really, really useful in the future of the world. I think others that might make absolutely no sense and have, you know, they're nothing but a meme, and sort of everything in between there. You know, in the end, I think transparency and making sure that there aren't outright scams or misstatements in a material way is probably the best thing that you can do there.
Well, Sam, I really got to thank you. You and I are of like minds about this. I wish more people listened to you. I think that this whole cryptocurrency issue would be, let's say, do well by the transparency that you're talking about. You're a good spokesperson for your organization and for the, let's say, the entire crypto world. Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder and CEO of FTX. Really great to have you on, Sam. I hope to have you back, okay?
Of course, anytime.
Everybody's back in for the break.
Coming up, a storm is coming. So give us a call. Kramer's got the answers to all your burning questions. The Lightning Round is next.
It is time. It's time for the lightning round. We're going to have 24 rounds. Those who understand the news, talk, and say, bye-bye, planet sound. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Ski, dad, come to the lightning round. Clear to my start with Fred in New York. Fred.
Hi, Jim. I would like your thoughts on AEVA. A-E-V-A. It's a fairly new stock.
Okay, now, true, but again, we are totally against companies that have no earnings. That was the clarion call of what the Fed did. It's going to knock out some good stocks. I don't care. I got to be very careful here. So we're going to say no. Let's go to Sandra in Arkansas. Sandra.
Dr. Kramer, thank you. I've been watching you for years, and with your guidance, I've been able to retire earlier than planned, so thank you.
Yes, yes. Tell that to all those clowns in the mentions column on Twitter who don't have 10 seconds. 10 seconds for me, no matter what they do. Or 10 cents. What's going on?
But this is lightning round. Let me get to it. A couple of weeks ago, I picked up some shares of a stock that seems to check all the boxes. Low PE, high dividend, good balance sheet, but it just keeps going down. It's Enterprise Products Partners, ticker EPD.
I think it's a very good company. It's going down in part because there are lots of people who own these master limited partnerships and they just keep selling them. I think it's a mistake to sell. I think that's right to buy, and I think you're in good company. Let's go to Bill in New York. Bill.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. I'd love to hear your thoughts on psychedelic
biotech.
Hey, I'd love to hear your thoughts on psychedelic biotech Compass Pathways, ticker CMPS.
Yeah. You know what? It's against depression, and I know it makes sense. The problem is, once again, I am being very tough. If it doesn't have earnings, or the prospect of earnings very soon, I have to say no. Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark.
Jim, thank you for taking my call. Happy holidays and good health to you and yours.
Same to you.
I need to know if this stock is a lump of coal or good milk and cookies. The ticker symbol is DOMA. Trades on the NYSE. Name of the company is Doma Holdings.
Lump of coal. Most definitely. Let's go to Michael in California. Michael.
Mr. Kramer, how are you?
Michael. I am good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Just real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on MGM Growth Properties, ticker MGP.
I like it. I think that with a 5.5% yield and some very good, it's got very good cash flow. So I think you've got a winner, and I would stick with it. Let's go to Santosh in New York. Santosh.
Booyah, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Booyah. Booyah. What's up?
Because of the current COVID surge, what's your opinion on vaccine company Inovio Pharmaceuticals, ticker INO?
No. Came and went. Forget it. Stay away. Don't want to touch it. You shouldn't either. How about Marty in California? Marty.
Yes. Hello there, Jimmy. My stock is TPGY,
Marty.
State Beneficial Finance Corp.
Blank check.
This was a spec stock that you recommended.
No more blank checks.
Ago.
Yeah, this has become, have to understand, the world changed. The Fed has decided to go against the bulls. And I know I cannot just continue to dig in my heels with companies that I think are going to lose people money, because at one point before the Fed decided to tighten, I may have liked it. I made a mistake. I have to move forward. That's just the same lessons of the investment club. Made a mistake, explain the mistake, move forward. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up, don't let another wave of COVID stop you from putting your money to work. This holiday season, Kramer's helping you game plan for any market. Next. Tomorrow, kick off the trading day with Squawk on the Street. Live from Post 9 at the NYSE.
You had positive things to say about AT&T. I sent you this emoji.
Yeah, that was fabulous, David.
It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Take control of your financial future with the new madmoney.cnbc.com. Kramer's exclusive CEO interviews, full episodes, analysis, even your own soundboard. Plus, special access to Mad Money 101 with rules and techniques to break down the market for all investors.
The red flag that makes me drop a stock immediately is...
It's everything you need right when you need it. The new madmoney.cnbc.com.
You are super. You are awesome.
I'm a first-time investor.
Thank you for inspiring me to get in the game.
Your show is the best. I am so glad you're on TV.
I want you to know that you have transformed me. Thank you, Kramer.
As was clear from today, nobody wants to think about buying stocks as the market gets steamrolled by yet another wave of COVID. That's exactly what you should be thinking about and doing here. What works at this point? Look at what happened in previous waves. Mega cap tech stocks were the ones that bounced back the fastest. It's been happening for years. Take FANG. That's our original acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. These stocks cratered and then rapidly recovered, rebounding far faster than most. Now, Netflix is easy to understand. If you go back to the peak on February 19th of 2020, right before things really unraveled, Netflix plummeted from around 390 at its peak to around 290 at its lows in March. But then the stock bounced back and bounced back hard, breaking out to new highs by mid-April. I know history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, and that rhyme means Netflix could be a pretty good bet here, as are some of the video game plays, especially Take-Two, and then NVIDIA, because remember, that's the platform for almost all the good ones. Hey, how about Amazon? The online retail colossus fell from 2,170 to below 1,700, peak to trough back then. It started making new highs again in the second week of April. I think the same thing could happen again, augmented by some late holiday buying for those who are now afraid to shop in person thanks to the Omicron strain, which we know is growing pretty quickly. According to the New Jersey State Health Department, who called me today, this variant is 70 times more contagious than Delta, which makes me want to buy Amazon right here, right now. No one's talking about that. They're wrong. Google and Facebook took it much harder during the original outbreak because they're so dependent on advertising. Their stocks both lost more than a third of their value. Then they didn't return to their highs until a few months later. Now, you could say two out of four ain't bad. I'd say all four FANG names can be bought because they're much cheaper than the high-flying tech stocks with no earnings that traded purely on sales that were so popular not that long ago. Or let me put it this way. We own three of them for the Charitable Trust. Alphabet, the artist formerly known as Google. Meta Platforms, the artist formerly known as Facebook. And Amazon, which is still Amazon, which is making my life easier, by the way, by sticking by that original name. Now, you can follow the trust by joining the CNBC Investing Club. We sent a bunch of notes today, pretty fortunately at the bottom, to do some buying. More recently, we've taken to throwing Apple and Microsoft in with the original FANG gang. In 2020, Apple got cut almost in half, while Microsoft lost a quarter of its value. They were making new highs again that June. Most importantly, though, FANG plus Microsoft all bottomed and recovered long before the S&P 500, which took until August to climb its way back. Even better, FANG just kept chugging its way higher since then. Why is that? Because when you look at the makeup of these companies, they weren't all that impacted by COVID, except for Amazon and Netflix, which got a huge boost from the pandemic. It was insane that their stocks were down so much in the first place. And it's insane that they're selling off again, which is why I pushed them so hard twice on Squawk on the Street this morning. As for Apple and Microsoft, I think they'll hold up better during the initial Omicron carnage because they're benefiting from new product cycles and because the market's not going to crash like it did in early 2020. In the end, you have to recognize that big cap tech has many secular growth characteristics, and the biggest ones also have terrific management, which is why I expect their stocks to bottom before the rest of the market and go higher. We don't have the stimulus now. We don't have the Fed helping us. But we do have a lot of money looking for a home. And FANG plus Microsoft make for some of the sturdiest homes around. As they get hit by the Omicron weakness, you've got my blessing to buy all six. It's that time. It can't be too early. Can't be too late. It's just now. I'd like to say there's always a bull market summer. I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. The News with Shepard Smith starts now.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.